Brothers and sisters, we come to Psalm 23. And of course, Psalm 23 is a famous psalm, but I don't think anyone has opened this up like the ministry that we have, by the Lord's mercy, the ministry that we have in the Lord's recovery has opened this psalm up like nothing before. And so I hope we could all be poor in spirit to receive something new and fresh from this psalm. And I hope we can be pure in heart to see God in this psalm, to really see God in this psalm. Saints, one verse impressed me from Genesis 45:15, where Jacob said at the end of his days, he referred to God as the God who has shepherded me all my life to this day. The God who has shepherded me all my life to this day. And saints, I think we can all testify that God has shepherded us all our lives to this day. Don't you believe that?
Amen.
That's why we're in this meeting this morning, because God shepherded us here, right? He shepherded us. He's been shepherding us all our lives to this day. And so what we want to see in this meeting is the organic shepherding of the pneumatic Christ. And hopefully we'll have time for some testimonies in this meeting. I believe we will. And again, tonight we'll have time for a lot of testimonies over the three messages. In this meeting, we want to see the organic shepherding of the pneumatic Christ. Now, when we say the pneumatic Christ, we mean Christ as the pneuma, Christ as the spirit. So we are talking about the organic. Organic means life. The shepherding in life of Christ as the Spirit in our spirit. This is what we mean by the organic shepherding of the pneumatic Christ. Now, saints, it is very significant. In this psalm, Psalm 22 through 24 is a cluster of psalms, or a group of psalms, that is clustered in a very significant way. In Psalm 22, we see Christ as our Redeemer and regenerator. We see his death, we see his resurrection, we see the producing of the church, we see him as our Redeemer, and we see him as our regenerator. If we skip over to Psalm 24, we see Christ as the King coming back in his kingdom. Well, saints, this is very remarkable. What is the bridge between, okay, in the past, he died for our sins. In the past, he resurrected to produce the church. That's Psalm 22. He's our Redeemer. He's our Regenerator. That's Psalm 22. That's in the past. In the future, in Psalm 24, he will come back as the King in his kingdom. What is the bridge between his church-producing resurrection to redeem us and regenerate us, and his coming back as the King in his kingdom? The bridge is his shepherding. His shepherding. What will bring him back is his shepherding of us and his using us to shepherd others. To shepherd others. What, do you need shepherding?
Amen.
All of us need shepherding. In this meeting, I need to be shepherded by the Lord. The Lord, Jehovah, is my shepherd. I will lack some things.
No.
I will lack what?
Nothing.
I will lack nothing. Jehovah is my shepherd. Saints, it is good to pray this, to pray read this verse. Now, when I use the word pray read, what I mean is to receive the word. Now, listen closely to this. When I use the word pray read the Bible, what I mean is Ephesians 6:17. Says that we are to receive the sword of the Spirit, which Spirit is the Word of God, by means of all prayer. By means of all prayer. So we take the Word of God as our prayer book, and we pray it back to the Lord. That is pray reading. You read the words of the Bible, and then you pray with the words of the Bible back to the Lord. So we need to pray read Psalm 23:1. We can even emphasize different words. We can say, Jehovah is my shepherd. Oh, thank you, Jehovah. You are my shepherd. Then we can say, Jehovah is my shepherd. Oh, thank you. You are my shepherd. Right now, Lord, you are my shepherd. Then we can say, Jehovah is my shepherd. Thank you. You're my personal, intimate, affectionate, real, present, available shepherd, Lord Jesus. Then we can say, Jehovah is my shepherd. Oh, thank you, Lord. You're my shepherd. You're the one that cherishes me, that nourishes me, that has taken care of me all my life up to this day. Even before I knew you, you were shepherding me. Where would we be? I think some of us can testify, where would we be even before we were regenerated? I feel like I'm alive because of the Lord's shepherding. You know, anyway, I just thank the Lord for shepherding. But we need to pray, read these psalms. Use these outlines and the verses in these outlines and pray them back to the Lord. Pray them back to the Lord. You know, I just, real briefly, related to, I shared one verse with you on praying with the words of the Bible. I'd like to share another verse with you that really touched me, and maybe this is a little tangential, but this is how the Lord shepherds us. He shepherds us through His Word, you know. And, you know, in 1 John 5, 11 and 12, these verses were very inspiring to me because, saints, 14 and 15. 1 John 5, 14 and 15. Saints, our whole Bible of 66 books is a prayer book. Do not say you don't have anything to pray, because you have an entire prayer book that you can pray back to the Lord. Now, everything according to this Bible is His will to us, right? When he died, He bequeathed Himself to us. He bequeathed a will to us, right? The New Testament is His will to us. And so everything is His will to us in this Bible. And He's the bequest of that will. He's the riches of that will. And so to appropriate those riches, first of all, it's really quite remarkable. I can't share a lot on this, but, you know, it's really quite remarkable. You have a covenant, the new covenant, or you can say the New Testament, the new will. Well, to enact a will, if I have a will, brother, what is your name?
Gabriel.
Oh, Gabriel. Oh, that's a wonderful name, Gabriel. That's one of the angels, right? Praise the Lord. Are you an angel? You're a man. You're the meaning of the universe, right? Hallelujah. Okay, Gabriel, let's say that I'm a multi-billionaire, and I write you down in my will that when I die, you're going to get all of my multi-billions, close to a trillion. Well, in order for you to get my will, I have to die. Don't say praise the Lord. I have to die, right? Now, when I die, you get everything I bequeath to you. Now, listen to this. This is absolutely remarkable. The Lord made a will for us, the New Testament. And, of course, all the types and figures in the Old Testament, the reality of those are in the New Testament. So that's all 66 books of the Bible are involved in the New Testament, which is His new will to us. Now, in order for that to be enacted, He had to die. He had to die. So He died, and He enacted the new covenant or the new will. Now, here's what's amazing. In resurrection, He became the bequest of that will. He became the riches. The riches that He bequeathed to us are multi-billions, trillions, zillions, and gazillions of riches of Christ. Isn't that wonderful?
Amen.
So in His death, He enacted the will. In His resurrection, He became the bequest of the will.
Amen.
Are you with me?
Amen.
He became the riches of the will. So He's dispensing the... And now not only is He the riches of the will, He is the mediator of this will. He is the executor of this will. He is in our spirit to make, you know, the executor makes sure that the person who the will belongs to gets all the riches, right? So he is making sure in our spirit that we are getting all the riches of Christ dispensed into us. According to the will he enacted through his death. So in his death, he enacted the will. In his resurrection, he became the will. In his ascension, he became the executor to carry out the will. Isn't that marvelous? Marvelous. Now, how do we appropriate this will? The way we appropriate this will is to pray over his word and to pray with the words of the Bible. Now listen to this. Verse 14 says, "This is the boldness which we have toward him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us." So if you ask anything according to his will, he'll hear you. If you say, "Lord, be my shepherd," he hears you. You see, and it says, "And if we know that he hears us in whatever we ask, we know that we have the request which we've asked from him." So first of all, this is the boldness we have toward him. First of all, we ask according to his will. His will is to be our shepherd, right? That's one of the bequests in his will. So we say, "Oh, Jehovah, be my shepherd today. I need you to shepherd me." Then, if we know that he hears us in whatever we ask, we know that we have the request that we've asked from him. We know that he will shepherd us.
Amen.
Isn't that wonderful? So see, when you pray, read the word, you are praying his will back to him. And then he dispenses those bequests of who he is into you according to your praying of his will back to him. Now, isn't that wonderful? I just feel like I have discovered penicillin or something, or, you know, or E equals MC squared, or, you know, I just, wow.
Amen.
Hallelujah. I don't want to tell all you guests, use the Bible to pray over the Bible, to pray, read the Bible. In our corporate prayer reading, we may repeat, read. We may say, you know, "Jehovah is my shepherd. Jehovah is my shepherd." But in your personal prayer reading, you can say, "Oh, Jehovah, I need you today. I need you. I feel so tired and so down. Be my shepherd. Shepherd me out of my depression. Uplift me, Lord. Thank you, you're my shepherd. You know just where I am. No one understands me. My husband doesn't understand me. The kids don't understand me. My roommate doesn't understand me. The teachers don't understand me. But you understand me, Lord." You can't say the Lord, you can't say, "Lord, you don't understand me." You can't say that because he understands you better than you understand yourself, right? Okay. So, saints, I love those verses. I love those verses. Okay. So this is a cluster of psalms, a cluster of psalms. And saints, we need to enter into Christ's wonderful shepherding, and we need to shepherd others. We'll see this. Okay, now look at Roman number 1. Roman number 1 says, in Psalm 22, Christ was the Redeemer and the Regenerator. In Psalm 23, he is now the Shepherd. And in Psalm 24, he will be the King who will regain the entire earth through the church's body, the people whom he has redeemed and regenerated and is shepherding today. So A says, in his heavenly ministry, Christ is shepherding people. This is what he's doing. And we need to cooperate with him by shepherding people.
Amen.
You see, this is what he's doing in his heavenly ministry right now. Right now, he is shepherding you.
Amen.
Whether you feel like it or not, he is shepherding you. He's shepherding each one of us. And we need to cooperate with him to shepherd people. This is the apostolic ministry, the ministry of the apostles, in cooperation with Christ's heavenly ministry. In his heavenly ministry, he is shepherding people. Now we know in John 21, 15 through 17, we know that Peter denied the Lord 3 times, right? He said, I don't know this man. He had a huge failure when he denied the Lord 3 times. Well, when the Lord restored him, the Lord shepherded Peter in a marvelous way. And The Lord even cooked breakfast for him. Can you imagine that? Think about it. Think about it. I mean, you know, they tried to fish. They tried to fish all night. They were professional fishermen. And then the Lord is on the shore. The Lord is on the shore. And he says, "Children, do you have any fish?" They said, "No." And then he said, "Put the net down on the right side of the boat." And they put it down. And, oh, there were so many fish in there. And the nets were about, I forget, it tells you how many fish. I forget the number. Do you remember? 153 fish. They fished all night, and they caught 153 fish at the Lord's word in one, you know, 153 fish. And John looks at Peter. He goes, "It's the Lord." So Peter just, you know, Peter, he's so bold. He just dives off the boat. He starts swimming. He doesn't even wait for the boat to get there. He just starts swimming in the shore, and he swims in the shore. And you know what? The Lord didn't go fishing, but he had fish on the land. He had fish on the land for him. And what he was telling him was, it was all symbolic. You know what I mean? He was telling him, "Listen, you're trying to fish for your living. I can provide fish for you on the land. On the land so that you can be full time. So that you can serve me full time." So he's cooking fish for them. He cooked them breakfast. What a healthy breakfast, right? Fish for breakfast. And he cooks them breakfast. And Peter's looking at him and he says, "Peter, Simon, Peter," he said, "do you love me? Do you love me?" He asked him three times if he loved him, because Peter denied him three times. And he said, and saints, if Peter would not have made that terrible mistake of, you know what Peter did? He said, "Lord, if all of these deny you, if all of these other disciples deny you, I will never deny you. They may deny you, you know, they may be wimps, but I'm not a wimp. I will never deny you. I will never deny you." Well, what happened? He was the first one to deny the Lord. He denied him three times. And it was through that failure that he became very useful to the Lord. He could have never shepherded anyone if he hadn't failed like that. Think about it. Think about what it would be like. Peter comes to you and you say, "Oh man, I just feel like a failure." He'll go, "Come on, turn to your spirit, brother. What's wrong with you?" You know what I mean? I mean, he wouldn't even sympathize with you, right? He wouldn't even sympathize with you because he had never failed. But he failed, and the Lord restored him. He failed three times. The Lord restored him by asking him three times, "Simon, do you love me?" He said, "Lord, you know I love you." And then he said, "Feed my lambs. Feed my lambs." Then he said again, "Simon Peter, do you love me?" And he said, "You know that I love you." And so the Lord said, "Shepherd my sheep. Shepherd my sheep." Then he asked him a third time, "Simon Peter, do you love me?" And Peter was grieved when he asked him a third time. He said, "Lord, you know that I love you." And then he said, "Feed my sheep. Feed my sheep." So Peter's whole thought after that was, "I need to feed the Lord's lambs. I need to shepherd the Lord's sheep. And I need to feed the Lord's sheep." Saints, this is what the Lord is doing in his heavenly ministry. He is feeding his lambs, he is shepherding his sheep, and he is feeding his sheep. Saints, there is always someone that you can shepherd, that you can shepherd. Everyone needs shepherding. Thomas, don't you need shepherding? And Thomas, has a young person ever shepherded you? How about a new one? Me too. Me too. Sometimes a new one can shepherd you. A young one can shepherd you. You know, one time I came home from work, and I was having a hard day. You know, I just wanted to go home and board up the windows, take the phone off the hook. You know what I mean? I just thought, this day was just a disaster, you know. And then I get out of the car. I'm just so tired. This is a number of years ago. I was so tired and just... It just was a hard day. You know, I don't know if you've ever had days like that, you know. Probably you have. Anyway. I got out of my car, and there was a brother sitting on my doorstep. And I just went, and he had his head down. And I just went, oh, Lord. And you know what I did? What I did was in Luke 11, you know, when it's midnight and there's someone there and you don't have anything to set before him, you go to the next door neighbor and you knock on his door and you say, lend me three loaves. Lend me three loaves. In other words, give me an emergency dose of the Holy Spirit. And so that's what I prayed to the Father. I said, Father, give me the Holy Spirit right now, you know. And so I went up to the brother, and of course I wasn't, again, I was, you know, I was having a hard day, and he said to me, he goes, oh, Ed, I'm just having such a hard time. I'm just, you know, thinking about leaving the church life and this and that. And anyway, then we just began to fellowship, and the Lord came in, because where two or three are gathered in his name, there he is in their midst. And he's there as the shepherd. So there wasn't just two there. There was three there. And so he not only shepherded this brother, he shepherded me. He shepherded me. You see, there's always someone you can shepherd. Believe it or not, there's always someone who's in a lower condition than you. Who's in a that you can shepherd, that you can shepherd. And many times the best way to shepherd, to be shepherded, is to shepherd others. Am I right? When you shepherd others, you get shepherded. Saints, give yourself to shepherd people. Saints, no matter what your circumstances are, I always tell people this, no one can stop you from enjoying the Lord. No one can stop you from enjoying the Lord, and no one can stop you from ministering Christ into people, which means no one can stop you from shepherding people. To shepherd people is to minister Christ into them. It's to minister Christ in him. No one can stop you from doing that. No one can stop you from doing that. So, we need to shepherd Peter. Peter later, in 1 Peter 5, 1 through 4, he said we need to shepherd people according to God. That means according to God's nature, desire, according to God's nature, according to God's desire, according to God's way, and according to God's glory. Not according to man's preference, not according to man's interest, and not according to man's purpose. You know, saints, and I would just like to encourage the older saints, and I know we do this, but this is just a reminder, just to have people in your home as a shepherding, right? All of us are in the saints' homes, I hope. And if you're not, have people over your home. You know, well, I don't know how much to say, you know, but, you know, listen, it doesn't matter what kind of food you serve. I'm serious. It doesn't matter. Brother, tell me your name again. I'm sorry. Brian, right. Brian, do you have an apartment?
No.
Where do you live?
I live in the brother's house.
You live in the brother's house. Oh, that's very good. Do you have people over to eat?
Sometimes.
Sometimes.
It's 13 brothers in the brother's house.
Yeah, that's okay. What locality?
Boston.
Boston, good. Did you ever have Thomas and Cynthia over?
No. Yeah, I haven't.
You need to have them over. Would you say amen to that?
Amen.
Thomas and Cynthia, wouldn't you like to go over Brian's house? And you don't care what he serves, right? They don't care. You can do takeout Chinese. I don't know what, maybe they might have some dietary things, but, you know, we used to invite people over. You know, I would invite people over our house after the meetings, and we'd invite like five people over, and then it'd end up 10, because I'd invite more people. And Ruthie would say, Ed, what are you doing? I said, there's no problem, we'll just drive through Kentucky Fried Chicken. There's no problem. You know, the saints, they don't care. There's not a big deal about the food. The point is the fellowship. The point is the shepherding. Brian, now don't forget Thomas and Cynthia. Don't forget Thomas and Cynthia. I really mean it. You know, one time, Brother Lee, the brothers in the brother's house invited him over their house. And you know what? They had hot dogs. And you know what? And you know what? Brother Lee loved those hot dogs. He loved those hot dogs. I think later the brothers went, "Oh, Lord Jesus." When they got older, you know. But you know, I've shared this before. My wife is a very good cook. But she became a good cook by cooking for the saints in the church life. When she first began to cook, she was learning how to cook. And so one time, the saints were coming over, and she was going to make cheesy chicken. You know, cheesy chicken is very simple. You have rice, cheese, and chicken. So I sat down and ate. The saints were all there, you know. And then I looked at my dish. It was rice, cheese, no chicken. I just went, "Oh, Lord Jesus." Inside, you know, "Oh, Lord Jesus." But the saints didn't say anything. They just said, "This is delicious." Cheesy rice, you know. Praise the Lord, you know. Because the saints, they don't. You know, now she's a great cook, you know. She's fantastic, you know. But the saints want shepherding. They want fellowship. You come into a saint's home, you get shepherded, and you can never forget that. You can never forget. I can't tell you how many unforgettable experiences I've had by saints being in my house or by being over saints' houses. Am I right, saints? All right, invite saints over your house. So you have 13, have 15. You know, have two more, have four more. You can drive through, save some money, Brian. You know, you can do it, brother. Do you believe me?
Yes.
Okay, good. Maybe when I'm in Boston, I'll come over. Good. And you can listen. I like hot dogs too. I mean, not that you have to do that. You know what I mean. But anyway, we need to shepherd people. We need to shepherd people. That's what I'm sorry. I'm just stopping here. That's what touched me about the saints. I couldn't believe it. When I first touched the church life, I went in a brother's home. This brother and I worked together at Penn's Oil Company. We came into the church life together, you know. And when I say the church life, when I use that term, just for those of you who are guests, I mean the practice of the church as seen in the Bible. How did they practice the life of the church in the Bible? They practice it from house to house. They didn't just, we have meetings in the meeting hall, and we love our meetings in the meeting hall. But in their daily life, they had a church life in their homes. And I remember the first time this brother and I, we went to the saints' home, and they were singing hymns in their home. And I was like, "What is this? Where am I? You don't sing hymns anywhere but in a pew." You know, that was my concept. You know, you sit down in the pew, the hymns are in the back of the pew. Maybe some of you don't know what I'm talking about, you know, but in the denominations, you know. They have pews there, right? And the hymns are in the back of the pew, and you sing hymns there. But I never sang a hymn in a home. People, the sister was playing the piano. Everyone was singing hymns. Everyone that was touching the Lord. Everyone was enjoying the Lord. Everyone was fellowshipping about the Lord. I said, "My goodness." When we left, I told Brother George, this brother who came in the church with me, I said, "George, we were in the book of Acts tonight. We were in the book of Acts tonight." It touched me so much to see the saints enjoying the Lord in their homes. Listen, this one brother who's an elder now, he gave this testimony later, and I didn't realize this, but he came over our house, and I came up to him with my hymnal, you know, to sing a hymn. I said, "Brother, let's sing a hymn." So we sang a hymn, and he thought that I had stole the hymn out of the pew. You know, he had gotten a lot of negative things, heard negative things. You know, let me just tell you, when you love the Lord and you pursue the Lord with your whole being, you will be persecuted. You will be, and you will be evilly spoken of against. In church history, everyone who loved the Lord, everyone who pursued the Lord with their whole being, they were persecuted and they were evilly spoken of. And so you can expect that. You can expect that. And it's not logical because Satan's not logical. But anyway, he heard a lot of things. You know what I mean? So he said, this brother stole the hymn out of the pew. What is he doing? And now he's an elder. He's one of the elders, you know. But he thought I took the hymn out of the hymnal out of the pew. I mean, that just shows you our concept, you know. But aren't you glad you have a hymnal?
Amen.
Aren't you glad you can sing?
Amen.
And it's you don't have to have a good voice to sing. Right? It says in the Psalms, make a joyful noise to the Lord.
Amen.
You just make a noise. I sit next to some brothers and they're tone deaf. You know, they just go, praise him, Christ is victor. He has won the victory. Sin is dead, old Adam finished. Oh, redemption, now we see. You know, no tones. And then some brothers are like opera singers. Praise him, praise him, praise him. And you're just like, wow. You're just like, whoa. You know, but we don't have a choir. We're the choir. We all function, right? We're all singers. We're all singers. You know, for those of you who are new, I'll just tell you this story. There's this dear brother who I love very much. His name is Dick Taylor. He went to University of Pittsburgh. I come from Pittsburgh too. We're from the same area. And of course he's much older than me. How much older is he than me? Anyway, he's older than me. If he were here, I wouldn't get away with saying that much older. But anyway, Dick really enjoys the Lord. He really enjoys the Lord. So he used to play football for Pitt, and he just like a big bear that enjoys Jesus. You know what I mean? And so we're in Russia together. We're in Russia. And he's in this room and I'm in this room. There's a wall separating us. You know, when you go to Russia, it's from California, it's exactly the opposite time zone. When you should be going to bed, that's the time you're getting up. You see, when you should be falling asleep, that's you know what I mean? It's just the opposite. The jet lag is horrible. I've never experienced jet lag like that. You know, I don't fall asleep in meetings. It's hard for me to fall asleep in a meeting. I'm not looking around. Don't worry. You know what I mean? It's hard for me. But in Russia, I was pinching myself so I wouldn't, because I was sitting on the front row. I was afraid I'd start snoring on the front row or something. You know what I mean? So Dick was sharing and I was like, Lord, keep me awake. Keep me awake. Well, one time I woke up, you know, and I was so tired. And Dick sings to me through the wall. He says, you know, the church life is like a musical. It's like a musical. You know, I always hated musicals. You know, musicals, you know, the person's walking along, then all of a sudden they just... He says, what? Come on. Get to the plot. But it's like that. It's like that in the church life. Dick is on the other side, and he goes to me, Jesus, Lord, you're our first love. And I just went, whew, you're the one we love the best. Then he said, when our heart is loving you. And I said, how we're filled with your sweet rest. Then we just sang that song together, you know. Oh, it was so good to wake up and sing with Brother Dick, I tell you. Listen, when you're with Brother Dick, you will enjoy the Lord. You will enjoy the Lord. And see, he is a crazy lover of Jesus, I tell you. He's a real example to me. Okay, and shepherds people to enjoy the Lord. He shepherds people to enjoy the Lord. If you go where, I'm just using him as an example. You see, saints, the way we are is the way the ones we care for will be. If we enjoy the Lord and we care for some young people, they'll enjoy the Lord. If we sing to the Lord, if we praise the Lord, they'll praise the Lord. They'll sing to the Lord. If you go to L.A., where Dick is, you go to the homes, you'll see, Emmanuel, you were in L.A., right? People sing in the homes there, right? They're singing, they're enjoying the Lord. It's because Dick and the brothers there bring the saints into the enjoyment of Christ.
Amen.
And we need to do the same thing. We need to do the same thing. Okay, now B says, if all the churches receive the teaching to participate in Christ's wonderful shepherding, there will be a big revival in the recovery. Our cooperation with Him in His heavenly ministry of shepherding will build up His body, prepare His bride for His second coming, to be the King in the next age. Saints, when we talk about having vital groups, that means groups meeting in the homes that are living and active, like I talked about with that home meeting, the intrinsic essence and intrinsic significance of having a vital group is shepherding one another, is loving one another, loving one another. You know, and forgive me, you know, I mentioned Brother Lee's name because I co-work together with Brother Lee. We have a lot of books by Brother Lee in our book room, and I had the privilege of being one of his co-workers. And we asked him one time, as elders in Anaheim, we asked him if he had any fellowship for us. And he was very, very ill, very ill. So we asked Andrew, you, to ask him. And so he said, I want you to tell the brothers in Anaheim this. Tell them to love one another. Tell them that their wives need to love one another. And tell them to love one another's children. That was his final word to the elders in Anaheim. Saints, if I want to shepherd a brother, I need to love him. I need to love him. Then the wives should love one another. Of course, a lot of you don't have wives yet. I'm sorry. But anyway, it's on the way. It's on the way. Anyway, the wives need to love one another. Then you need to love one another's children. Saints, all you single saints, if you take care of the saints' children, that is a great shepherding. Great shepherding. Like Ricky has, you know, well, Ricky's kids are older now, but if some saints have, I'm thinking of maybe Roger, where's Roger Fisk? Is he here? Is he? Roger, are you here? Oh, he went back to take care of his kids. Praise the Lord. How old are his kids?
The oldest is 8.
8? And then 8, 5?
3.
Wow. Wow. 8, 5, 3, and less than 1. I tell you, to shepherd Roger, take care of that 8, 5, 3, and less than 1. If you take care of those kids, that'll be a great shepherding to Roger and his wife. A great shepherding to them. You remember when the Lord was there and the parents brought the children to the Lord and the disciples, they blocked the path. They said, no, don't bother the Lord. They were like the Secret Service, you know, with the earphones, you know. Okay, the Lord can't be bothered with you, with these kids now. Come on. And it says the Lord was indignant. The Lord was indignant. He said, allow the little children to come to me, for of such is the kingdom of the heavens. Saints, I never realized this before, that when the disciples did that, you can imagine how the parents were offended. They had to be offended. But when the Lord did that, you can imagine how the parents were shepherded. Not only were the children shepherded, but the parents were shepherded by the Lord taking care of their children, you see. So we need to love the children in the church. Love the children in the church. Don't criticize the children. Don't say, oh, look at that kid. He's so wild. Why don't his parents, blah, blah, blah. I won't say, you know what I mean. You know, don't do that. Don't do that. You might think you know how to raise kids. Let me tell you, when you're single, you know how to raise kids. When you get married, you have one kid, two kids, three kids, four kids, you realize, I don't know how to raise kids. I don't know how to raise kids. The more kids you have, the more you realize you don't know how to raise kids. It's just the Lord's mercy. You just do that. Of course, you have to follow principles, you know. You have to listen to Ricky teach about how to take care of kids. And 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 I mean that, and I mean that. But you need the Lord's mercy. You need the Lord's mercy. But we need to shepherd one another's children. We need to take care of one another's children. Then there'll be a big revival in the recovery if we shepherd one another. Now see, to shepherd people is to cherish them and to nourish them. As illustrated by the entire New Testament. Saints, the entire New Testament is on cherishing and nourishing, which is shepherding. Look at this. Christ as the Son of Man came to redeem us from sin. That is cherishing. His death on the cross was a great cherishing. Then in resurrection, he came to impart the divine life into us abundantly. That is nourishing. So the entire New Testament is on shepherding, which is cherishing and nourishing. Now, what is cherishing? Cherishing, simply put, is to make people happy. To make people happy. Now, to make people happy, you don't go to them and say, hey, cheer up, brother. Or cheer up, sister. That doesn't work. What makes people happy is the Lord's presence. Is the Lord's presence. When you're filled with the Lord's presence, when you spend time with the Lord, and you get infused with the Lord's presence, and you go visit a brother, and you have the Lord's presence, that becomes the charming factor to that brother or sister that ends up cheering him up. You might not say anything, or you might say a few words, or you may say some things. It doesn't matter what you say, or what you do, or how much you say. You bring the Lord's presence with you.
Amen.
And the Lord's presence is the charm. Doesn't the Lord's presence cheer you up? And the Lord's presence cheers that person up. Many times, have you ever had this experience? A brother or sister will come to visit you, and then they leave, and then you confess your sins, and you say, oh, Lord, forgive me for this. Forgive me for not being absolute. It's because they brought the Lord's presence with them. And light, the presence of God is light, you see. And that light clears up our sins and does a lot of things to us. So, to cherish people is to make people happy. And, of course, to nourish people is to feed them. You know, saints, you can't feed a person if you don't cherish them first. If they're not in your heart. You know, especially young people. Especially a young person. I'll talk about the junior hires and the high schoolers especially. They know if you love them. They know if you love them. Gabriel, did you grow up in the church life? Didn't you know who loved you? And you knew who didn't love you. And then that's exactly right, Gabriel. I knew it. Okay. And Gabriel, isn't it something that the ones who don't love you, the ones who make you, you're just a project to them. You see, you've been assigned to them. So they have to take care of you whether they like it or not, because the church assigned them to take care of you. And it's almost like you've got the best radar. Pharisee at 3:00. You know, let's get out of here. Let's get out of here. Or Gabriel, you would say, let's say you were in junior high and Ray was taking care of you, and maybe Ray was assigned by the brothers, but Ray prays for you. Ray loves you. And you know that Ray loves you unconditionally. Even if you dyed your hair green, he would love you. He would love you. And so, yeah, but don't do that. Yeah. But he loves you. And so your heart is open to him, right? No matter what, your heart's open to him because he cherishes you with the Lord's presence. Then he has a way to nourish you. And he has a way even to be honest with you. Am I right? Is that your experience? Some have a way to be honest with you because you know that they love you. I remember when I was serving with the junior high schoolers, some of the high schoolers, whenever I took them out for pizza, they would say, okay, Ed, what is it now? What's the deal? You know, but they were open to me. You know what I mean? They were open. They just knew that when it was pizza, it was cherishing, nourishing, and admonishing time. You know? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Okay. Anyway, we need to cherish people. and we need to nourish him. It's just like a little baby. You know when a little baby, you're feeding a little baby, and the baby won't eat. And you know, some of those Gerber foods, they look terrible. Hey, green, I mean, I know green is good, you know what I mean, but some of them are just, you know, I don't know how the baby can eat that stuff, you know? But it's good for them, you know what I mean? But some of them, they won't, you know, you try to put it in there and they close their mouth and it gets all over the mouth and they won't eat it. And so you got to do, you got to go, and they go, and they go. You see, you cherish them, you make them happy, then you can nourish them. That's how it is in a church meeting. You come to church meeting, you're like, yes, yeah. Then some brother shares, he's there. Praise the Lord. Really, that happens in the church meeting. That happens. Doesn't that happen to you? Okay. I remember one meeting I was in. I was a brand new brother. It was a prayer meeting in a home. And I could not pray. I was brand new. I had this issue, and I just could not break through. I could not pray. And so I was just sitting there like this. You know, you're in a home. So what are you going to do? You know, it's not like a big meeting where you can hide behind people. You're in a home. I'm sitting on a couch next to this brother. And so I said to myself, as soon as this prayer meeting ends, I'm out of here. I mean, I'm going to race out of the door. You know what I mean? And so it was the last amen. It went, amen. And I went, and I started running for the door. And this brother sitting next to me, it was almost like he had an elastic arm. What is that? That guy on Fantastic Four or something. You know what I mean? Just I forget his name anyway. Just went, and he grabbed me and sat me back down next to him. And he said, I could never forget that. I was almost running. He grabbed me, pulled me back. I couldn't fight with him. What was I going to do? I couldn't, you know. And he said, Ed, what's wrong? What's wrong? I'm concerned about you. So I was able to open up my heart to him. I knew he was concerned for me. I was able to open up my heart to him. And my whole situation got cleared up that night. And I got recovered. If I would have went out the door, who knows what would have happened? You know what I mean? But this brother was concerned for me, and he shepherded me. And I can still remember that. I appreciate that so much. Okay, now Roman numeral 2 says, the all-inclusive Christ is our inward pneumatic shepherd, taking care of our inward being. So he cares for the welfare of our inner being. He exercises his oversight over the condition of our real person. He cares for our inner being, our soul. You know, it says concerning the elders, the leading ones, they watch over your souls. You see, what the Lord is looking at is he's looking at your mind, your emotion, and will to see how much oil is in there. You see, we sang that song, we have oil in our lamps, we're burning, right? I like that song, we have oil in our lamps today. Well, we don't want just oil in our lamps, we want oil in our vessels, right? We want oil in our mind, in our emotion, in our will. So we need to watch over one another's souls so that the Spirit will get into our mind, get into our emotion, and get into our will. See, this is what the Lord is concerned about. Okay, now Roman numeral 3 says, the indwelling Christ is my shepherd, and under his all-inclusive tender care, I will lack nothing. Now, according to Psalm 23, Christ shepherds us in 5 stages. The initial stage is the enjoyment of Christ as the green pastures, and of the Spirit as the waters of rest. The second stage is the revival and transformation on the paths of righteousness. The third stage is the experience of the resurrected pneumatic Christ while walking through the valley of the shadow of death. The fourth stage is the deeper and higher enjoyment of the resurrected Christ in fighting against the adversaries. Finally, the fifth stage is the lifelong enjoyment of the divine goodness and loving kindness in the house of Jehovah. All right, now let's look at these 5 stages. Roman numeral 5 says, in his organic shepherding, the pneumatic Christ makes me lie down in green pastures. He makes me lie down in green pastures. And you know, You lie down in green pastures. You know, if you're brand new, new ones have no table manners. They just lie down and they eat the grass lying down. You know what I mean? They have no table manners. I have dogs are really funny. We have a dog that, dogs, they all have different personalities. And we have a dog, he will not let you look at him when he eats. He will not let, if you look at him, he'll be eating, and you look at him, he'll look at you, he'll pick up his bowl, and he'll... This is a private thing here. Don't watch me when I eat. You know, he has no table manners. And you know, the new ones, they don't have any table manners. They just enjoy the Lord. They might not do things the way we do them, you know? And they shouldn't. The new ones, right? Okay, so green signifies the riches of life. The pastures are not brown pastures. They're green pastures. That green signifies the riches of life. The green pastures are Christ himself as our nourishment. Christ can be our green pasture, our feeding place, through his incarnation, death, and resurrection. Now look at C. C is remarkable. The base of the Greek word for economy in 1 Timothy 1:4 is of the same origin as that for pasture in John 10:9, implying a distribution of pasture to the flock. This reveals that Psalm 23 is a psalm on God's economy, his household administration, to dispense himself as the green pastures into his people and build them up to be the house of Jehovah, the divine human incorporation of the process and consummated triune God with his redeemed, regenerated, transformed, and glorified tripartite people. You see, so Psalm 23 ends with the house of Jehovah. It begins with the distribution of pasture to the flock, which shows that this is a psalm on God's economy. And when we say the divine human incorporation, we're talking about the triune God and his redeemed people indwelling one another. He dwells in us, and we dwell in him. The Roman numeral 6 says, in his organic shepherding, the pneumatic Christ leads me beside waters of rest. The waters of rest signify the Spirit, the consummated Spirit after Christ's resurrection. Both the green pastures and the restful waters are the resurrected pneumatic Christ as the life-giving Spirit. Then Roman numeral 7. In his organic shepherding, the pneumatic Christ restores my soul. Don't you need your soul restored?
Amen.
For our soul to be restored means that we are revived. Restoring includes renewing and transforming. Our Lord, as the shepherd and overseer of our souls, shepherds us by caring for the welfare of our inner being and by exercising his oversight over the condition of our real person. Christ takes care of us in a tender, all-inclusive way. This kind of shepherding is an inward, intrinsic, organic comforting. See, 2 Corinthians 1:3 and 4 says he's the Father of compassions, and he's the God of all comfort. And he comforts us in all of our affliction that we may be able to comfort those who are in any affliction with the comforting with which we ourselves have been comforted by God. In other words, we've been comforted by God, and now we can comfort others with the comforting that we've received from God. So we need to receive comfort from God. We need to receive encouragement from God. That encouragement and that comfort is Christ himself. 2 says, because our soul is very complicated, we need Christ, who is the life-giving Spirit in our spirit, to shepherd us in our soul, to take care of our mind, emotion, and will, and of our problems, needs, and wounds. You know, Isaiah 61:1 says he binds up the wounds of the brokenhearted. I really love this. Who can bind up the wounds of a broken heart? Only Christ. So when our heart is broken, we need to say, Lord, bind up my wounds. Bind up my wounds, Lord. Okay, Roman numeral 8. In his organic shepherding, the pneumatic Christ guides me on the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Christ guides us to walk according to the Spirit on the paths of righteousness to fulfill the requirement of righteousness. The paths of righteousness indicates our walk. For his name's sake means for the sake of his person. His living person as the pneumatic Christ. Christ restores our soul so that we may take His way and walk on the paths of righteousness. We need to be proper and balanced in our mind, emotion, and will. Otherwise, we cannot be righteous. Under the organic shepherding of the pneumatic Christ, we are balanced, corrected, and adjusted. In all that we do, we need to be under Christ's shepherding, taking Christ as both our paths and our righteousness. Righteousness is being right with persons, things, and matters before God according to His righteous and strict requirements. Righteousness is a matter of God's kingdom. Thus, righteousness issues from God for His administration and is related to His government and rule. Then Jesus says, righteousness is the living out and genuine expression of Christ, who has the life-giving Spirit, lives in us. Amen. Lives in us. Okay, Roman numeral 9. Under the organic shepherding of the pneumatic Christ, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I do not fear evil. Listen to this. For You are with me.
Amen.
You are with me.
Amen.
Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You know, brothers and sisters, I was here one time in the college conference. I think it was 2 years ago. And I was sharing, and a lot of people were asleep. They were really tired. I don't know if it was test week or what, but some people were sleeping. I don't know if this brother's here today. I'm not here to expose anybody. Actually, this brother, I shared this in Dallas, and this brother came up to me. He goes, Ed, I was that brother. I was that brother. So I have the ground to share because it's positive. Well, anyway, this brother, he was so tired that every time I looked at him, he was asleep. He slept through almost the whole conference. And so he was asleep. You know, I was just glad his mouth wasn't open. You know, a fly would, you know, wouldn't fly in. And so a lot of people were just, you know, and I was fighting a battle, you know, up here. And anyway, I made a statement. And I said, if we have God's presence, we have everything. If we lose God's presence, we lose everything. See, you are with me. Saints, if you have His presence, you have everything. If you lose His presence, you lose everything. Well, He woke up just for that. He woke up just, listen, the best place to sleep is in the meetings. Because you can get something. You're sleeping, then you wake up. Oh, if I have the Lord's presence, I have everything. If I lose the Lord's presence, I lose everything. Well, saints, he gave a testimony that night in the meeting. Ricky, I don't know if you remember this. And he said, brothers and sisters, you know, he said, I've been so busy. He said, I just want to confess, I lost the Lord's presence. And he said it with tears. I don't know if you remember, Brian. Anyway, he said it with tears. And we were all in tears. We were all in tears when he said it. And when he said that, he got the Lord's presence back. He got the Lord's presence back. And we were all so happy for him. And we were convicted too. Because you can realize you can be so busy and you don't have the Lord's presence. And if you don't have the Lord's presence, you lose everything. You lose everything. And is that brother here by any chance? No, he's not here. Okay. Maybe he's graduated now. Okay. Anyway, in Dallas it was so sweet. Because he came up to me after me. He goes, Ed, I was that brother. I was that brother that you were talking about. He was just beaming. I mean, he was full of the Lord's presence. Full of the Lord's presence. Okay, you know, concerning Joseph in Genesis 39:23, it says Jehovah was with him, and whatever he did, Jehovah caused it to prosper. See, what made Joseph prosper was that Jehovah was with him. Jehovah was with him. Okay, under Roman numeral 9, A says, for the pneumatic Christ to be with us means that we enjoy His invisible presence, which is special, personal, and intimate. Special, personal, and intimate. Wow. You know, brothers, brothers and sisters, I don't know. You know, we may have to wait till tonight to share. There's just so much here. Special, personal, and intimate. Saints, we have to pray, Lord, I pray Your presence would be special to me. I pray your presence would be personal to me. I pray your presence would be intimate with me. You know, I was sharing with Ricky on the way up here. Actually, I shared this in the Netherlands. It's in the book of Numbers. And, you know, Moses, I forget what chapter it's in. It's either Numbers, it might be Numbers 12. I'm not 100% sure. But anyway, Moses married an Ethiopian woman. And because he married an Ethiopian woman, Aaron and Miriam were upset. You know, Aaron and Miriam were related to Moses, and they were upset about this. And they said, "Hasn't the Lord spoken through us also? Hasn't the Lord spoken through us also?" And so the Lord came down to visit them, and the Lord was very upset. And he said, "I want you three to come to the tent of meeting." And so he brought them to the tent of meeting. And he said, "Aaron and Miriam, come forward. I have something to say to you." He said, "To a prophet, I'll speak in a vision or in a dream. But it is not so with my servant Moses. I speak to him face to face and not in riddles. And he beholds the form of Jehovah." He beholds the form of Jehovah. Then Miriam became leprous, you know, because of her rebellion. But the point, saints, is that what God could have said was, "Don't you realize Moses is my deputy authority? Why do you..." Was it Numbers 12? Numbers chapter 12. 6 through 9, right? I think 6 through 9. Yeah. Numbers 12, 6 through 9. He could have said, "Don't you realize Moses is my deputy authority? Why do you rebel against him?" But what he said to them is, "I want you to realize Moses' proximity to me. I want you to realize how special, personal, and intimate Moses' relationship is with me. I speak with him face to face, and he beholds the form of Jehovah." You see, saints, our proximity to the Lord determines the degree of our spiritual authority. And our spiritual authority is not for, according to Aaron's budding rod, you know, in the ark, there's Aaron's budding rod with the almonds. It's not for beating people, it's for feeding people. The reason why we have spiritual authority is because we feed people. When you feed people, you know, the one who has the most authority in my house is my wife, because she feeds us. If we upset her, the food shut off, right? So anyway, anyway, Moses' proximity to the Lord is what gave him his spiritual authority. Isn't that precious? So we need to have a special personal authority. And saints, in the New Testament, we can all speak with the Lord face to face. It's not just Moses anymore, not just one person. But we can all turn our hearts to the Lord and behold the glory of God in the face of Christ. We can all behold the glory of Jehovah, right? And reflect him as a mirror, right? Turn our hearts to the Lord. So it's not just Moses, it's all the New Testament believers now. Okay, see, when we are in the valley, we should simply remain there and rest in the Lord. Our resting in the Lord will shorten the valley, reduce the shadow, and remove the death. Isn't that wonderful? Just rest in the Lord. The Lord's rod, a symbol of his authority, is for protection. We are under the Lord's authority and take the way marked out by him. Every negative thing, death, darkness, fear, evil, is under his rule, control, and authority. The Lord's staff is for guidance, instruction, training, direction, and sustenance. Under the organic shepherding of the pneumatic Christ in the valley of the shadow of death, we experience God as the God of resurrection and may attain to the out-resurrection. Then 10, under the organic shepherding of the pneumatic Christ, he spreads a table before me in the presence of my adversaries. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. A, the Lord spreads a table before us in the presence of our adversaries. This is wonderful. You know, there's this person in the Old Testament named Mephibosheth. He was Jonathan's son. And Mephibosheth was crippled in his legs because when his nurse was fleeing, she dropped him. And he got crippled in his legs. Well, he thought King David was out to kill him. But King David did not want to kill him. King David wanted to take care of him. It's just like sometimes we think the Lord's out to get us. But that's a lie of the enemy. The Lord isn't out to get us. The Lord wants to invite us to His table to feast on Him. So the Lord David wanted to invite Mephibosheth to His table to feast on His riches. So He finally found Mephibosheth and invited him to His table, and Mephibosheth feasted at David's table. And saints, the point is this. We all have lame legs. We all have weaknesses. But saints, don't look at your weaknesses. Keep your weaknesses under the table. You understand what I mean? You have lame legs. Keep your lame legs under the table and just look at and feast on the riches of Christ.
Amen.
Don't focus on your weaknesses, your shortcomings, your, you know, whatever. You know what I mean? Feast on Christ.
Amen.
B, the Lord anoints our head with oil as at a festal banquet, and our cup, the cup of blessing, runs over. In Psalm 23:5, we have the triune God, the Son as the table, the feast, the Spirit as the anointing oil, and the Father as the source of blessing. Roman numeral 11, under the organic shepherding of the pneumatic Christ, surely goodness and loving kindness will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of Jehovah for the length of my days. Now look at this. This is remarkable, saints. Goodness refers to the grace of Christ. Loving kindness refers to the love of the Father. And follow refers to the fellowship of the Spirit. Thus the grace of the Son, the love of the Father, and the fellowship of the Spirit are with us.
Amen.
The enjoyment of the processed and consummated triune God ushers us into the enjoyment of God in the house of God. And the house of God is Christ, the church, and the New Jerusalem. You can also say the house of God is our spirit, according to Ephesians 2:22. So you have Christ, the church, the New Jerusalem, and our spirit. And we dwell in the house of God for the length of our days. That's in the present age, in the coming age, and in eternity. And see, we need to seek to dwell in the house of God all the days of our life.
Amen.
To behold the beauty, loveliness, pleasantness, delightfulness of God. To inquire of God. Checking with God about everything in our daily life. How about that? Saints, check with God about everything in your daily life. Do not be on automatic pilot. 3, to be concealed in God's shelter and to hide ourselves in the hiding place of God's tent. To be raised up and have our head lifted up by God. To offer sacrifices of shouts of joy with singing and psalming to God for the glory of God. And then finally, let's stand up and read Roman numeral 12 all together. Psalm 23 is the link
between Psalm 22 and
Psalm 4. It is by Christ's wonderful shepherding and by our entering into this shepherding, the intrinsic significance of the vital groups, that the body of Christ will be built up with His redeemed and regenerated ones, and that the bride will be prepared for Him to return as the King in the next day, in the manifestation of His kingdom. Okay, very good. Isn't that wonderful?
Amen.
To me, that's wonderful. Psalm 23 is so rich.